This edition of the Monocle Arts Review was first broadcast on the 14th of August 2015 on Monocle 24. Welcome to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. It's Friday, so as usual, we'll be looking ahead to the weekend to see what's on at the cinema. And joining me today is film critic and our regular queen of the silver screen, Karen Krzanovich. Our lineup today consists of Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig's new collaboration in Mistress America, Amy Schumer's booze-fueled sexual misadventure in her rom-com Trainwreck, and there are car chases and devious damsels aplenty in Guy Ritchie's latest spy blockbuster, The Man from U.N.C.L.E. That's all to come right here on the Arts Review on Monocle 24. Welcome to the show, Karen. Now, we're going to begin with Noah Baumbach's latest film, Mistress America, starring his co-writer, Greta Gerwig. This is the second project the two have worked on together, the first being Frances Ha in 2012, a touching tale of friendship, survival and failure. Now, these are themes that the duo are exploring further in Mistress America. Karen, tell us the storyline of Mistress America.
Well, the storyline is, the hero is Tracy, who's played by Lola Kirk. She was actually Greta in Gone Girl. She's this young woman who's just first time away to university, college, as we say in America. And it's not what she thinks. She thinks that she's going to be accepted to the literary society. She isn't. She has love life problems as such. She ends up getting in touch with her soon-to-be stepsister, who is Greta Gerwig, playing Brooke, who is this woman who's she's 30, and she's got all sorts of schemes and plans, and she's living life in New York. And at first, Tracy looks up to her. But then we learn a little bit more about how Brooke's life got to be that way.
Let's hear a clip of Mistress America. Here is Greta Gerwig's character, Brooke, in the car with Tracy and her friends on their way to confront her nemesis.
I think I offended your boyfriend.
He's not her boyfriend, he's mine.
Why are you here?
Because Tracy made Tony drive you.
But why did you come?
I had a bad experience with adultery before. My last boyfriend committed adultery when we were together, and I just don't like to let my boyfriends get too far.
Adultery? Why the fuck does it matter? You're all 18. Where's this old person morality coming from? There's no cheating when you're 18. You should all be touching each other all the time.
And that was a clip from Mistress America. The writing is very fresh, isn't it?
It's very, very fresh. It's like Woody Allen on speed, really. Most of Baumbach's movies are like this. Very, very fast, very witty, full of quips, things that you want to quote. This one is like a fire hose of his previous films. Amazing. And you will want to pretend that you've made all of those lines up as you reuse them at dinner the next night.
Quite a starring role for Gerwig. Is her character an extension of Frances Ha, or does that not really do it justice at all?
It's easy to say that it's actually Frances Ha off on a parallel. I don't want to give too much away, but this is a much different, surprising character. Yes, she is an older woman, older than 30s, who has these dreams that probably will never happen, whereas Frances Ha, I think, was slightly younger and realizing that things weren't really going to happen. Brooke doesn't realize that, all of her dreams and schemes aren't actually taking root.
And a great performance by Gerwig. Do you think this going to jettison her career? Or is she typecast a little bit?
I think she's a little typecast, but she is also playing to her strengths. And it's wonderful, actually, that she's playing with Lola Kirk, who's quite quiet, kind of the center of it. And she allows Brooke, and in a way, it reminded me a little bit of A Diary of a Teenage Girl, where the older person is the one that is not really progressing, and the younger person is the one that's watching this train wreck, as it were, and saying, I'm not going to be like you.
Very funny, maybe a little bit irreverent. Is it touching? Are there sort of themes that sort of hit a nerve?
Well, everything. I mean, I mean, Gerwig's character says things with such conviction that you have a tendency to agree, yeah, that sounds good. Yes, that sounds good. But ultimately, no, I don't think there's a lot of sentiment or feeling here. But I think that anybody who's been in the situation of going away to a large university and being a little disappointed will recognize what she's saying. And also anybody that's moved to a big city where life didn't quite unfold as one may have planned will also recognize it. But she's pretty ruthless in the end.
Now, the director, Baumbach, is known for writing and directing films of a generation. Is it solely kind of relevant to sort of 20-somethings in New York, or is there sort of wider appeal?
It's beyond millennials and beyond. It's really tracking people that remember things before the internet, you know, before digital music. That's his milieu, and he does show us this clash. He's very good at conflict, I think, Baumbach. Very good at showing the differences in the generations and where they connect and where they disconnect.
And very much about sort of betrayal, loss of trust, trying to build back relationships. Is this at all autobiographical?
It's very easy, seeing as he began with something very autobiographical with the squid and the whale. While We're Young, obviously, and Greenberg. Also, he's a writer for Saturday Night Live, or was. And all of that. Any time that you write comedy, you have to take from your own life. Whether this is strictly autobiographical, I doubt it, but it feels very real.
Well, Mistress America is out in the UK and the US of A and will hit German cinemas this December. We'll move on now to The Man from U.N.C.L.E., Guy Ritchie's new spy movie, which is a remake of the 1964 American TV series of the same name. This sees Henry Cavill take up the lead role as the 1960s CIA agent called Napoleon Solo and his skillful sidekick, Ilya Kuryakin. Karen, what a fun challenge for Guy Ritchie to update this iconic TV series.
Who wasn't in love? I mean, I grew up, it ran from 5 years from 64 to 68. And these are the tiny James Bonds. You know, these were the small screen
mini
James
Bonds.
The mini Bonds, perfect. And it's interesting, they've been trying to get this off the ground. They had various directors before, and that's not unusual. But Guy Ritchie's eighth feature, and he hasn't made a movie since 2011, he's trying to make a spy movie for the ages. He's trying to get away from just being glib and trendy. So in a way, this is set in the 1960s that didn't actually exist. It's a fictive 1960s, and it's glorious and it's stylish. In fact, there's an Oscar-nominated costume designer working on the film, and it looks amazing, and you couldn't have two hunkier, sexier male leads.
Well, let's have a little listen before we delve a little deeper. Here is our protagonist, Napoleon Solo, being drugged by the devious femme fatale, Victoria.
If I were a suspicious man, I would say you put something in my drink.
It's much easier to trust a drink you fixed yourself.
But how did you know I was going to drink the scotch?
I didn't. I laced all the drinks. I don't like to leave much to chance.
I thought I was doing so well.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself. You were doing fantastically well. What are you doing?
I've been here before, and last time I fell rather badly and hurt my head.
I'm afraid
it isn't going to stop you getting hurt. Sleep well, Napoleon.
The sound of Guy Ritchie's U.N.C.L.E. Oof, there's a deliciously retro feel to that.
He really gets it right. It has a wonderful, wonderful feeling. This is an analog spy thriller with dials, nuclear devices, people wearing capes, you know, and black and white capes. And it's an incredible looking film. And there's one set piece, one stunt that I have never seen before that just took my breath away. Which was spectacular. And also the leads, Alicia Vikander from Ex Machina and Elizabeth Debicki, you just heard here from The Great Gatsby, are very, very good. And a little treat is Hugh Grant as the spy boss, who seems to think it's 2015. I don't know. He's breaking the fourth wall all the time. And it's absolutely wonderful.
But going back to the look and the production values, what's interesting is this isn't a vast budget. And I'm wondering if it's quite refreshing after all the summer blockbusters like Fast and Furious, like extreme special effects, that these are actually more choreographed than CGI.
Absolutely. And they're going back to that now. Mad Max Fury Road was the one that really kicked that off with really putting a lot of emphasis on practical effects. And everybody's doing it now. In fact, Star Wars, some of the Star Wars comic book, we're not going to do CGI. We're not going to, you know. So, yes, getting back to actual stunts. And I have to say, they were saying that a lot of the stars did their own stunts in this. Well, yeah, actually, it's much faster, cheaper, and safer when the stunt people do it themselves. So, you know, take that with a pinch of salt. But it does have this wonderful retro feel, and it feels real. And that adds a lot of pace.
Let's delve a little deeper into the casting, because in the original TV series, it was made by the two leading characters. How do the cinematic 2015 versions of Kuryakin and Solo do?
Well, if you remember, and I was talking this over with an older critic here, that apparently some of the television shows, the original Man from U.N.C.L.E.'s, were shown here in the cinema back to back, which I didn't know. Napoleon Solo was sort of the slick brunette, you know, dark-haired, kind of a weasel, really. And Ilya Kuryakin, who was blonde, beautiful, quiet, smart. And they've played pretty much on that, where Henry Cavill is quite arrogant, really, and a little bit of a dick, really, if I can say that on the radio. And Ilya Kuryakin is given a twist of a little bit of a psychopath. He's got a kind of little post-traumatic stress disorder going on. But otherwise, he is moral, whereas Napoleon Solo is immoral or amoral. So yeah, there is that similar kind of pairing, not the same chemistry. And I think the problem with that is the script. The script is uneven a little bit. This is the first one that Guy Ritchie has written for a long time, co-written with the producer. And it's quite vague. You know, things are happening, you don't kind of know why, but it's so beautiful in a way you kind of don't care.
Well, brilliant. The Man from U.N.C.L.E. is out today in many regions, including Australia, Canada, and the US of A, and will continue to roll out globally over the next couple of months. And finally, we're going to end on a light note with rom-com Trainwreck, written by and starring comedian Amy Schumer. Her Emmy-nominated TV show, Inside Amy Schumer, deals with sex and relationships, and now she's brought the same topics to the big screen. How does the story unfold in this cinematic tale?
Oh, it's about a journalist, so of course I love it. a journalist is working in a male magazine. It's called Snuff, you know, with a little thing. And she's got this very hardcore editor who's played by Tilda Swinton, unrecognizable with a wig and bad makeup, basically. And they're all sitting around the table pitching ideas, and somebody says, I'm going to interview this sports doctor, this vital sports guy. And Amy Schumer's character pipes up and says, well, that's really stupid. Sports are stupid, so you're going to go and do it. So, no. Anyway, Amy's character is unapologetically promiscuous. I mean, she has a lot of sex and a stupid boyfriend, which, you know, which is fine. Ends up falling for the sports doctor, of course. And now she's got a problem because she's a committophobe.
Well, let's hear a bit of Amy together with her love interest, sports doctor Aaron.
I think we really like each other and we should start dating.
No, I'm saying, I'm confused. Am I not communicating this right? Like,
No, I hear you. I'm just saying I disagree. Do you like me?
Yeah.
Yeah, see, I really like you. So we should be a couple.
No. I have plans.
What are your plans?
Dentist.
Is that true?
No.
Dialogue from Trainwreck. Very funny, going against the grain of kind of every woman's romance in the movies these days.
I think it's quite realistic. I
mean, absolutely.
You know, when you're working, you just, you know, guys really gum up everything. It's like, you know, I got things to do. I can't have a relationship. But relationships take a lot of time. This is a very, very interesting movie. It's at 125 minutes for a comedy. It's a little too long. Judge Apatow really works this really, really well. And there's also a really interesting cast. There's LeBron James, Marissa Tomei, Daniel Radcliffe. There's also 101-year-old actor Norman Lloyd, who has had an 8-decade career in this. He was amazing. It's the first time he's ad-libbed. I love it. Randall Park, who's from Interview, Tilda Swinton, as I mentioned. This is a very pacey new kind of comedy, as breakthrough as Bridesmaids. Now, the first two-thirds are terrific, and it kind of drifts a little bit at the last third. But really, Amy Schumer is paving the way as much as Lena Dunham did before.
Brilliantly written. Do you think this kind of is a breakthrough role for her that really proves she's as good an actress as she is a comedian?
I'm not really sure about, she doesn't, in a way, she just needs to be funny. And of course, being a, I mean, I think Robin Williams is a good proof of this, that if you're a good comic actor, you can also do drama. She doesn't have a lot of opportunity to be dramatic here. But I think working with her own material, she does very, very well. And it's very funny. And it is a punch in the gut quite a few times.
I mean, is it post-feminist, neo-feminist? is there a sign of the times here that, you know, that sort of glossy romance is not relevant?
Yeah. Yes, it is. Is it post-feminist? Yeah, possibly. It's modernist post-feminist. I think if you were to make her a male character and doing the same things, we would say, oh, yeah, we've seen this before. Mm-hmm. But we haven't seen a woman saying, you know, I just really want to sleep around. I've got to deal with my father who's dying, and I like you, but I don't know how to have a relationship. And that's really what this is about. And how many women have decided, I'm going to have a family later on in life, I'm going to put my career or my education first, and then they think, well, wait a minute, you lose faith in yourself for being able to hold a relationship together.
And you talked a little bit about the cameo roles. Without giving too much away, Daniel Radcliffe has a little cameo.
A little tiny cameo. And there's a movie within a movie, and that's all I'll say. But it's quite fun. It's nice to see who pops up here. It's always surprising.
Well, if you're in the mood for laughing your way through a cinematic train wreck, then head to the movies this weekend and catch this one. And that brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you, Karen Krasanovich, for joining me again in studio. You've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Gillian DeBias. My producer was Holly Fisher, and the show was researched by Fernando Augusto Pacheco. We'll be back at the same time next Monday for Ozzie and Ward's Arts Picks. But from now, for me, Gillian DeBias, thank you and goodbye.